Welcome to a rather cold episode 29 of Digital Outbox. And hello, good afternoon. Don't know what weather's like you are, but for me it's rather snowy. Joining us again this week is Chris. Hi, Chris.
All white and snowy here.
I just thought I would give you your seasonal theme tune.
Thank you very much.
And also joining us this week is Shaquille.
Hello.
How are you doing this week?
What? What the hell was that?
Well, you've not been well, have you?
I don't think it's quite casualty face.
It was casualty.
I don't watch that show, so I have no idea what that was.
So you've got the swine flu?
Allegedly.
Alleged swine flu, but you've got the Tamiflu, haven't you?
Yeah.
So there you go. But you've soldiered on, you've joined us from your
sickbed. That's the most dedicated yet, isn't it?
Dedication.
No. Yeah, it definitely is.
I feel a bit of Roy Castle coming on now, but I better not.
But you haven't got that on your box of tricks.
No, but next time. So, will we crack on?
Yep,
let's crack on.
First story this week is 4G network in Sweden and Norway. So they've just done the first tests on a 4G dongle, and they are getting...
Sorry, that sounds funny.
Dongle. The speeds they're getting are massive. Mm-hmm. 43 meg down and 5 meg up, and a 37 millisecond ping.
I'm jealous of this even on regular broadband. Exactly. I'm struggling on my 1 meg down or whatever.
I couldn't believe the speeds. Yeah. I mean, they were comparing it to the actual speeds, and they were saying, well, it's not the theoretical speeds, which I think were 60 or 50 meg. And it's like, hold on, you're getting 43 meg.
That's impressive.
Wirelessly.
And not only that, it's a great ping as well. We're talking 37 milliseconds sort of response.
Yeah, and as soon as I saw the ping, I just thought, this could be... I mean, if they could get that speed in the UK and get it reliable, then you could do away with home broadband.
Mm. Yeah, because that's the point here, isn't it? How reliable is that download up low speed? It's like, regular broadband. If you've got a supposed 8 meg download that at times goes down to half meg, it's less than useless most of the time.
The equivalent price is $85 a month. So I guess that's working out about, 50 quid, 60 quid?
Mm. Which is, we've got some broadband deals that are near enough that, haven't we?
Only 30 gig of data.
Yeah, so that...
And I know some people that blow that in a day, especially with 50 meg download.
30 gig isn't...
30 gig isn't horrendous, is it? But it's
horrendous. Yeah.
I don't use anywhere near that much.
I think there's lots of people that were sitting there thinking 30 gigs, sod off.
Mm. I think it's going more and more that way, isn't it?
Even
regular users are using more and more.
But. Yeah, I think people's habits are changing how they use the internet.
Definitely.
I know my brother tends to just sit there with a laptop in front of him and just streams videos.
Mm.
Even though he's got a TV in front of him, so I think,
But if you look at how many different services over the year have talked about replacing, and I've always talked about American cable, but replacing basically, Sky and ITVs and your BBCs,
and it's
all about streaming. Mm-hmm. Spotify from the music point of view, iTunes buying Lala, and if you could just have one account.
Mm.
Very interesting.
I have to say, my TV habits now revolve mostly around either watching recorded stuff from Sky Plus, so time-shifted, or watching stuff on iPlayer and catching up. There's very little I actually sit and watch live.
I'm assuming both of you, like myself, even if you're free to watch a TV program, you record it just so you can then skip the adverts afterwards.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I'll delay it by 15 minutes to start with, just go through them.
I've done that. I mean, I've with things like 24's on, I'll start watching it at 9:15 just so I can, I'm not watching it live, but I'm watching it in the same, same place, if you know what I mean. Yeah. But the adverts are just annoying.
But shush, don't tell the advertisers that.
And, I guess the reason why this is pretty big, there was one of the mobile internet analysts is predicting that the if you look at the size of the mobile internet, it's going to be twice the size of desktop internet. I think that's within 4 or 5 years.
Understandable, yeah.
Definitely.
Everybody's buying, a lot of people are buying laptops these days instead of desktops as well, so...
Yeah. And even just the use of iPhone, just how much you get off that. So apparently,
is laptop included in that mobile internet? Sorry. Is laptop included in that mobile internet?
They were just talking about the actual. You know, if you compared it to, it wasn't so much desktop, laptop, and handheld. It was more just the home desktop market compared to mobile internet usage.
And don't forget the netbooks are going to grow over the years as well.
Yeah.
So you're going to have that overlap between mobile devices and laptops.
I'd go along with that kind of that sentiment as long as it includes those kind of netbooks in there, things that have got physical keyboard, because we still haven't solved that on the mobile.
No.
No.
Agreed.
And apparently O2 are doing a 4G trial in Slough.
Oh, lucky Sloughlians. I don't know.
Slugs.
Oh, that's much better. But yeah, can you imagine? Oh, so O2 are doing a 4G trial in Slough. That's the first one in this country. And again, they're quoting massive speeds. They're quoting up to 150 megabyte download, and even sort of over, I think it's 20 or 30 megabyte upload. So it's pretty incredible stuff.
As one of our friends would say, wow.
But, I mean, I wish they'd get their 3G sorted out, but I guess, you know, they're thinking ahead, aren't they? They're probably skipping out the 3G phase, getting that all.
I know, but for a lot of people, aren't going to pay the price of this. You know, so it's all right. I mean, they can't skip 3G. 3G's now, and we need this for the next couple of years. How long did it take 3G before it first came out to when you actually got a phone that worked and could take advantage of it?
Yeah, I mean, and 3G itself sort of overtook from WAP, which lots of people put out into WAP.
That was horrendous.
And WAP sort of just got skipped over. So a lot of people spent a lot of money and got burnt because things moved too quick.
I remember getting my WAP phone and just believing the hype and then trying it, and you're like, this is rubbish.
Mm. Oh, that feels like my iPhone now.
That's what you get for living in the back of beyond.
Indeedy. My little dot symbol rather than anything 3G.
Bless.
Yeah.
Following on from a story last week, we spoke about Facebook privacy and the changes they've made. I didn't quite understand. I was listening to This Week in Tech last week, and they'd spent about 15, 20 minutes on this. But actually, it turns out when you do a quiz on Facebook, or if one of your friends does a quiz, it actually exposes a lot of your data, no matter what settings that you've set your privacy to.
I think a lot of the Facebook apps do this, because when you install them the first time, you get this dialog box, and they don't really obviously give you all the information there. You just say yes or no, and the average user's not going to bother reading that. They'll think, oh, if I'm doing a quiz, I'm not really releasing anything. But I think behind the scenes, a lot of apps do this.
So basically, there's a quiz you can take that actually shows just how much is revealed. So, and it's if you do a body quiz, it's really know about you, and it's from the ACLU. And you can actually do that quiz. It takes a little while, but it just shows you how much information it can pull from your friends' basically private settings. And very poor. And also, the other thing, developers aren't vetted. So if you sign up to be a developer and start developing in Facebook, there's no guarantee that it's like, you know, somebody's wanting to actually develop a good app.
Yeah, and so what I read from this story, I haven't seen any depth. I mean, it does worry me slightly. So if your friends are taking a quiz, and you're including that, maybe, you know, that they've recognised you as something, but the developer can see your profile through the friend who's doing the quiz.
Yep. So even if you have decided on Facebook, you're not going to get involved in any of the quizzes or polls or anything else that's on there, or any of the games on there. If you've decided, no, I'm not interested in that, I value my privacy. But if one of your friends then takes one of those, then a developer could easily get to your data.
Could this be because of, is it like a loophole, so that because the app is on your friend's profile, they can sort of pretend they're coming through behind the scenes as your friend? And, you know, like, friends can see each other's profiles openly.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
exactly what it is, yeah.
I don't know if it's a loophole as such, or it's just that's the way.
No, I mean, is that, you know, maybe that's how they're like going going about doing that, because otherwise, if you're not a friend of somebody, you can't see the profile if they've not locked it down.
But even now, I mean, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've noticed since the privacy changes, mm-hmm. I'm now getting told when people are updating other people's statuses, and you can click on it, and now their profiles are fully open, because obviously they've either said, yes, I want to open everything up, or they've not understood these changes last week, and what used to be a private profile is now fully open. I've noticed a few people's profiles this week.
For me, without the ability to lock down who's seeing your information, this service for me loses value. I know for other people it doesn't. Mm. But if I can't lock it down, then you know I can't monitor who is looking at my content, and therefore I don't put the content on there because it's not worth it. And we spoke last week about, you know, if you're looking for a job or if you're, you know, whatever, people can use the information on Facebook against you. And you know, and so if I do want to put up the fact that I've been to a wedding and there's some slightly compromised pictures of me being a bit drunk and disorderly or whatever, and you know, that's not true, by the way. That's just a complete brilliant example. So I don't want that to be publicly available. And if I can't lock that down, I mean, I'm not using Facebook very much anymore anyway, but you know, it kind of makes me think, well, do I need it anymore?
I'm just surprised you're worried about the wedding pictures, not about the sheep. But no, one of their PR guys was on, an American, was getting interviewed by, I think it was CNN, and he says, well, you know, if you're really worried about it, then, you know, you can lie about your hometown, you can change your profile pic to protect you.
Defeats the whole purpose of Facebook.
Yeah, so. And not that you can, I mean, and this was the thing, when you first sign up to Facebook, it says can't lie, you can't put in like short names, you can't put in a false first name, you have to put in your information, because it was all built around trying to find real people in the real world. But because it's all locked down and because everybody's chasing, I mean, I guess they're chasing after, you know, search pages and, you know, making sure that their pages are coming back first, and that's why they're wanting to open it all out now and make sure it's all indexable. Shady, really shady.
I mean, that's clearly the thing, but they're, you know, 10 privacy groups in the US have filed a complaint now in the Federal Trade Commission about the new privacy settings. So there's more going to happen on this front. As someone said the other day, you know, this looks like it's the start of the backlash rather than the actual backlashes.
Oh, I think so. I think next year you're going to see a lot of unhappy people. I think just as more people realise what's actually happened. So as one kind of court battle looks to loom, another one is settled. So Microsoft's 10-year fight with Europe and browsers is now over.
Hooray!
Indeed. So this was all around, you know, Explorer being there as the default, and Europe didn't like it, and it's been on and on and on and on. And I've now settled on as a ballot screen, which will let users in Europe replace Internet Explorer with another browser. Bizarrely, there's 13 other browsers that it can be replaced with.
I couldn't name 13 browsers.
No, I can. Well, I'm sure there's like 5 or 6,
yeah.
And then I'm struggling. Yeah. So I don't quite know. Does that mean somebody's going to get a really sucky browser?
I always found this a bit odd, because I never understood why can't Microsoft, you know, provide IE with the new machine, so with their software, because if it's their software, they should have every right to say, here, you know, that you'll get IE with your operating system, and then it's up to the user to go and get anything else they want.
That's obviously the Microsoft stance, or has been, but and in fact, you know, as long as they're not dominant in the marketplace, then you can do that, which is why, you know, Apple can buy Safari, whatever.
All right, so because as they're soon as, dominant.
It's purely because it's a monopoly, and therefore you're using your position of dominance to your own advantage at the detriment of
everyone
else.
Yeah, but why not the same with, like, MSN or with an image program or with Notepad?
But MSN, you don't, it doesn't come installed with MSN anymore.
Okay, what about Notepad?
Where do you stop?
I think that's the point Shaki was making. Where do you draw the line? Where do you say that, I've invested in this technology and I believe it's best for Windows operating system?
I mean, the way I see it, if there's like a really kick-ass browser out there, much, much better than Internet Explorer, then whenever the user gets, you know, installs Windows or they buy a new machine, they're going to go and get that browser anyway. It's not
you say that, Shaq, but that's just not what's borne out in reality. A lot of people don't even know what Internet Explorer is. They see it as going to the internet. But, you know, I speak with plenty of clients who have no idea what a browser is. They don't, if you ask them what version they're using, they would have absolutely no idea.
Okay, so in that instance then, when they get a new machine or they install Windows 7, and they'll have IE8 by default. And then they'll get a page saying, these are your other options. You can install any one of these. They'll just say, well, if I've already got a browser that, and I don't know much about the internet, I'll just stick with what I've already got. So it just seems like a whole waste of time to me.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's just to give other browsers that chance and at least a look in. And I say, I don't know the details of how this poll's going to work, whether it's going to come up for even for people like myself who have already had Windows 7 for a while, or whether it's just on new distributions. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Ian, you said, where do people draw the line? It's probably where companies start making complaints. You know, other browser manufacturers have always made complaints about the IE situation, whereas there's probably not another notepad manufacturer out there that is moaning about the fact that they can't get their notepad.
It's just to me, it's just been a total waste of time.
Yeah.
The amount of money that this has probably cost everybody. Rubbish.
But this argument, what it has done is it's seen a lot of browser development. From a situation where Internet Explorer at one point was the only browser, when Netscape sort of went under and disappeared, we've now got a situation where it's quite a lively market. And actually, we're seeing a lot of development happening in the browser industry now.
No, definitely. But I mean, if you look at when IE kind of won that war and they had IE for any platform out there, and then he says, well, that's it, we're not going to develop this anymore. I mean, that was crazy. There's always going to be somebody going to come along and start to...
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing. But then they want a fair footing onto the new PC market now, don't they? So, well, yeah, I think this could be good for browsers. But what I think it could also be is bad for consumers if they happen to pick the 13th browser on the list that is a pile of, you know, rubbish.
Well, I'm just trying to think through, like, you know, does that mean things like Flock are going to be on there?
There's going to be a lot of bad browsers on there somewhere.
Which for some people is really good, but for other people it's like, well, what's all this nonsense going on?
Yeah.
So... I don't know. Unconvinced. Windows Mobile 7 has been delayed, Chris, until late 2010.
Yeah, so I always thought it was late 2010 anyway, that we were going to see this, but I think it was probably going to be mid-2010 originally. But they've pretty much come back and said, look, I mean, they've done the good thing, which is they have admitted Apple have stolen the march. They've done something that's innovative, new, and works, and they got taken aback by it, really, because up to now they've kind of just been doing the normal thing of, oh, it's just Apple and whatever, we don't really care about that, and we'll do something of our own, we've had apps for this, you know, ever since we've ever built a phone kind of thing. But yeah, so
it's good to know it only took 3 years for them almost to admit that.
I know, it's but at least they've said it, and that makes me feel a little bit more comfortable that maybe Windows Mobile 7 will actually be a good product. So they've obviously considered it's worth putting more time into, and they're delaying it until late 2010, so maybe about a year away.
I was actually using one of the HTC phones that's got one that's got 6.5, but it's got their front end on top. I was actually using one through the week, and it's actually quite nice.
They've had very, very good reviews.
But just
quite universally,
there was just things about it that just felt a bit, not right.
I think the reviews I've read, again, I've not used them, has said it does feel rather like that something gets it's plonked on top of something else.
It does feel like that.
As long as you're still in the front end of it, it's great and fantastic, and the phone is great and it works. But when you get into the settings, sometimes it feels like a bit annoying because you step back in time and you have to go back to styluses or whatever to try.
What was interesting was the App Store. Which it was interesting for two reasons. One, didn't have very much in it. But also the guy that I was looking at, he says there's an app in there for like £300. And he says, and it talks about diamonds. And I went, aha. And if you remember back when the App Store first came out, there was that diamond one for $1,000 and people bought it, and all it did was display a picture of a diamond.
No way. Exactly
the same. So I can't remember if it was called Diamond, £300, and it said, buy this app to show off how wealthy you are. And I just don't know if somebody would fall for it.
Even if one person falls for it.
Exactly. It's probably taking a guy a couple of days to put together.
Yeah.
So, but the interface worked okay, but just a bit kind of junky, clunky.
Yeah, I think they always admitted that 6.5, it was why it's called 6.5 rather than new iteration, is it was always trying to be a fix on top of a fix. And HTC have done a bit more fixing on top of that. And, you know, so, but they've clearly got a lot out of what people thought was a pile of rubbish.
Junk. Our final news story, before we move on to Apple, is Palm. They have a Palm Aries Beta And this is a beta, even. What can that pronounce today?
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Is that a Palm Arse beta?
Well, I think that was, I was spending so much time thinking, is that Ares or Ares? Or, and then I was like, Ares, beta. Anyway, I don't know if any of you guys have had a look at this.
No.
But it's a...
I ignore all Palm products these days.
Get out. But it's an integrated mobile development tool, he says, reading it from the notes, hosted entirely in the browser.
Yeah, that's quite interesting.
It's actually very impressive.
I did have a quick look at the website, and it does look impressive, more for the fact that it's running in a browser window rather
exactly.
than... Exactly.
So drag-and-drop interface builder, you can do your code editing, visual debugging, and it's got built-in source code, source control integration. So to have that on a browser, to be able to just log in and develop anywhere you are, you can compare that to, you know, what you're, how you develop for the iPhone, it's quite impressive.
Yeah, and it's a, another Google Chrome OS score, isn't it?
Yeah, another I still don't think do. It's... I don't think it's going to make much difference to the Palms. They announced quite a lot of losses this week, and I don't think the market share has been all that great.
I think they always said, wasn't it, was there like one final attempt to become successful again, and I think for a while they had a bit of momentum, but I don't know what happened, whether the product maybe wasn't as polished as it should have been, or... You know, maybe
To me, it's ending up versus an iPhone versus Android.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah,
looks
definitely.
To be the two dominant players.
It'd be nice to have, you know, like Palm in there, I think, just for competition. But
just so you can see, get out every so
no,
often.
No, it's just, you know, because obviously we've had Palm Pilots in the past. And, you know, and it's just a shame to just, if they just fold completely, then it, no, they'll be missed by some people, I'm sure.
Indeed. So, moving on to some Apple news. Mm-hmm. 2-week iMac delays. So, we mentioned flickering and graphic card issues and cracks and screens in the 27-inch iMacs.
Mm-hmm.
And it now looks like Apple have come out, all they've come out and said is we've had some issues that we want to deal with, and there's a 2-week delay on iMacs now.
Nice.
If you go to iMac.squeaked.com, you'll see there's an awful lot of disgruntled customers.
Has there been any information as to why the screens were cracked? Is it because I mean, I always, when I first saw them, I thought they looked absolutely gorgeous, but then when they explained it, that's obviously a 27-inch screen. And, you know, the Mac that I've got, it's got like, the screen doesn't go from edge to edge.
Yeah, so it's got a bevel all around.
Yeah, and this one, the screen is just edge to edge. There's like no support. So I wonder if it's because of the, maybe the weight and during transit.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. It's probably like transit issues.
Because I remember, you know, like when plasmas and LCDs first came out, and they used to say, oh, you must, during transit, keep them straight up.
Upright,
If you lay them flat, the movement can make the glass crack. Maybe it's similar issues to that.
Don't know, because they are big screens. But it's more the, I mean, it seemed to be the rumour was that they're actually replacing some graphics cards. So it wasn't a better graphics cards or a different manufacturer, It was just a different batch, really. Is a rumour for some of the issues.
Just with the delay and stuff, and, you know, like, I think you were talking about you wanted a new Mac, even though you don't need one, and you thought you might wait till, like, January, February time.
Yeah,
because they normally do like a refresh, don't they? Model refresh of some of the products. I was watching a program yesterday and they were discussing the new USB 3 external drives that are coming out and how they've been testing them, but there's not a lot of hardware out there to test it properly. And they were saying there was one particular company that they say are linked to Apple, and there was a rumor that the refresh in January or February might be that Apple would add USB 3 to the new machines. Just a rumour for the moment, but it'd be nice. So certainly get me interested in replacing my iMac.
That'd be interesting. I've just, my Drobo is just currently being filled with data. So I've plumped for it rather than waiting, because I just thought, I mean, even if I looked at some of the speed gains I'd get, and I thought the Firewire is enough for me just now.
Oh, so, your Drobo is Firewire then, is it?
Yeah, Firewire 800, yeah.
Ah, nice. Okay.
So that works quite well. another court battle that Apple has won is against SciStar.
Yeah.
So basically, SciStar is no more?
Well, you know, like obviously this battle has been going on for about over a year now. And earlier this week, the US court, the judge basically banned SciStar from copying and selling or offering to sell or distributing or creating derivative works of Mac OS X without authorization from Apple. And there's a whole load of other, you know, conditions applied to that. But bottom line is, SciStar can no longer sell machines with OS X installed without authorization from Apple.
I think the original ruling, the one that sort of came out a couple of weeks back when we reported it, maybe a little bit longer than that, said that they weren't allowed to do this for OS 10 point whatever it was.
Yeah.
But that there might be a different court case for every single new release of an Apple operating system.
Yeah.
And Apple obviously weren't happy with that decision. So this decision now says that they cannot do this for OS X or
at all.
Any of the others.
Any version of OS X, they cannot do that. And basically, that's final. They just cannot do that. And so, yeah, the one thing that wasn't explicitly mentioned in this injunction was the Rebel EFI software. And the reason for that was because SciStar didn't divulge the full information to court about what the software does. However, it seems unlikely that they would be able to sell that without finding themselves in contempt. And finally, it was reported early this week that after this case, SciStar were totally shutting down their business. But there was a bit of news this morning saying that's not true. They haven't totally shut down. They're still in operation, but we don't know what they're up to now.
Well, hopefully it's the end of a very bizarre story.
Mm-hmm.
I've never understood how they thought they could do this.
Trying to do it legitimately.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I still think there's going to be calls. So the software and whatever they've got out there, I think there's still be a call for it. But
well,
just can't do it legitimately anymore.
No, there's a whole lot of like Hackintosh sites and people setting up, you know, Dells and all that kind of stuff, which is fair enough. There's always going to be a little hacker market kicking around out there. But I can't see how somebody can say, yay, we can legitimately do something like that.
What I don't understand is
go on, sorry.
Sorry, I was going to say, if somebody wants to try Mac OS X, then why not buy like a Mac Mini or a cheap MacBook? Surely it's less hassle. And, you know, you get much better enjoyment and usage out of it as well, and you get better hardware.
Mm. I think it's just some of the Hackintoshes, but you can, you know, they're spending £300 on hardware, you know, so it's kind of hard. But then the screens are a lot smaller and the keyboard's a lot bigger. It is a netbook, so I think a lot of people have been building, you know, kind of netbook size Hackintoshes, which is something that Apple don't offer
yet.
Right. Yeah. I don't know about you, it's been really busy in the App Store this week. Been loads of updates and loads of new apps coming out.
Yeah.
So the first one finally to hit UK store and 59 other countries was a Kindle app.
Yeah.
I'm not a book reader at all.
Nor am I.
But Kindle app is now out and it allows you to buy and read digital books, and it also syncs with your Kindle so you can resume reading on either device.
Have you tried it yet?
No.
I downloaded it. It's a bit bizarre because when you want to buy a book, it actually connects to Amazon.com and not .co.uk. So all the prices are in dollars and cents as well.
Isn't that the same, though, for the UK version of the Kindle? Doesn't that still hook up with .com rather than .co.uk?
Oh, right. I've no idea.
I think so.
Maybe it's the same thing.
I know when it came out and you went to .co.uk and there was a big thing about Kindle, you then had to buy it from America. And they said they'd ultimately start selling it in the UK, but not at the moment.
So maybe, it'll be the same thing then. Because you get an option that says, if you're from Japan, then it takes you to the Japan site. But anywhere else outside of US, it will take you to the US site.
Mm.
And I didn't want to buy a book just to try it out because, like yourself, I don't really like to read books on a small device.
But still, a good option because actually one of the guys at work is still using Stanza.
Yeah.
And reads quite a lot on it. And Stanza was bought by Amazon.
Yeah, okay. So
the kind of books that I've got, I have got a couple of books on my iPhone, but they're both... They're both camera books based for my Nikon. So again, they're just handy user guides that I've got with me wherever I am. You know, dip in and out. But it's not a comfortable experience reading on it. It's just it's a bit too small, really.
And I've got a couple of PDFs manuals on the iPhone. Just again, handy to have locally rather than sitting on the computer all the time. And that's the only reason. Second app is iVideo Camera.
Yeah, I was obviously more interested in that than you would be because I have the 3G phone, which doesn't allow you to record video. So that apparently this is the first app that allows non-3GS iPhones to record video, and then you can share them to YouTube or Facebook or Vimeo. And you can also save a local copy as well. It's 59p, and it's not like a polished app. I mean, the frame rate is very, very poor. It's about 3 frames per second, and it will record just about a minute, I think, max. But when you do download it, in the description, the developer has made it perfectly clear that, you know, this is the case, and that he's working on improvements which will hopefully increase the frame rate and increase the recording time as well. I gave it a quick try. I uploaded a video to Facebook and also to Vimeo, and I think it's got potential, and for 59p it's not a bad option for someone with a standard 3G or even the first generation iPhone.
The quality of it was a lot better. Well, I looked on your Vimeo video and it was a lot better than I was expecting it.
Oh, right.
When I was reading the description. Yeah, so, and did it even come with sound? It seems
sound is there, obviously it's a bit low.
I was just impressed with your Lego characters.
do you think this is pushing the hardware to where it's not supposed to go? I assume it's just using the standard camera and taking a picture as quickly as it can.
I don't think it's pushing the hardware to a certain extent. I think it's just Apple are probably locked down the capability in the non-3GS phones to record video. I've no doubt the 3GS, the video will be high quality because they've got better hardware as well.
Yeah,
but I've no doubt that with proper software updates that they can certainly improve what's there already.
Yeah, I mean, I remember there was Quick came out with a video app, and it was a lot better than 3 frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they had up about sort of like 15-20. I don't know how much that was due to it was a jailbroken phone. And it was an app installed on a jailbroken phone, and hence we're maybe using an awful lot of, kind of like private APIs, which Apple aren't keen on using.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much you're going to get through an App Store released application compared to maybe something that somebody could put together.
Well, one of the things I read was the reason that this app has come out is because Apple have opened up some of their APIs, so which is what the developer is using. And another thing I didn't mention was the resolution was quite poor as well, and I think that can certainly be improved as well.
At the end of the day, the bit of the hardware, you can see from the preview of the picture before you take it, the hardware is capable of capturing the image from the camera and showing it on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So then the limiting factor should be how quickly you can store it somewhere, which shouldn't be too much of an issue.
Yeah.
So I guess that here the issue is very much that Apple have got APIs to call it, so you know, every so often rather than continuous stream of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our final app for the moment was Bing. So Bing has come out on the iPhone as an app that allows you to see where you are via maps. You can search, and you can also voice search. Now, the first day I tried this, the voice search constantly crashed the app, but I used it yesterday and today, and it works, but it's just very inaccurate. But then so is the Google one.
You're not Dan Saf accent either, are you?
You know? Thank goodness.
Exactly.
Don't want to sound like a pikey dog.
When you were doing the test earlier and saying pizza, I was finding it hard to understand.
Anyway, let's move on to some gadgets and games.
I thought you weren't going to say that anymore.
No, I'm going to. This might be the last time I say it this year.
Okay.
Because it's the last episode. Nintendo has trademarked Z.
Yeah,
so it's got a lot of people thinking: is it Wii 2? Is it the Wii HD? Is it something completely different?
Nothing. Care? Yeah, no other news that they've just trademarked in Japan only at the moment.
Mm.
So you never know.
It's unusual for someone to trademark something and then not use it for at least something. Unless they just want to create some buzz.
Possibly. I mean, there's long been a rumour of a Nintendo Wii with HD output, which Nintendo keep denying. It could be something like that. I don't know how to tell.
Only time will tell. So Ridge Racer Accelerated is coming to the iPhone.
Yee-hoo!
Actually, it looks pretty sweet.
Mm.
And seemingly it's out before the end of the year, which means the next, 10 days?
A lot of the developers will want to get things out just ahead of Christmas for people with their new phones.
Especially as
searching on the App Store.
I think, is it from the 23rd to the 28th, the Kinect part of the iPhones, this is like how developers put out their software. I think that's down. So I think you're going to have a 5 or 6 day period where there's no updates and there's no new apps. So it's either going to come out in the next couple of days or it's going to be out just before New Year. Moving on, Square Enix. So Shaquille, you'll know more about this than me.
Yeah, this Thursday gone, Final Fantasy 13 was released in Japan for the PlayStation 3. And this report was from a few days before, and they basically shipped 1 million copies because that's what they expect to sell within the first few days. And I'm pretty sure I read about a day ago that they've sold about 2 million now already.
Mm.
Whether that's like actual sold copies or whether it's including pre-orders as well. So looks like it's going to be a huge success and might even boost sales of PlayStation 3 even more in Japan.
It's massive numbers.
And I think for the Western release, it's now confirmed for about, I think it's March, 20th of March.
Mm.
So not too far away.
March could be an interesting time because that's when they're talking about Gran Turismo as well. More on that later. Blu-ray 3D spec has been finalised. But it's all a bit odd when I was reading through it, but basically the PS3 is going to be forwards compatible with the new discs, and you still need a new telly, but the PlayStation 3 will work. And the spec that's been agreed is basically going to send a 1080p image to each eye.
Wow.
Which just sounds bizarre.
Mm.
So yeah, that's the... And I guess we're going to see more... You know, everybody's talking about next year as being the 3 year of 3D. I guess CES in early January will be when we get to see the actual hardware and we get to see actual prices as well.
I think in terms of like sending 1080p video to each eye from the PlayStation 3, we seem to forget the cell chip is supposed to be like really, really powerful. Mm. So I suppose in terms of like, you know, video might not really need that much power than what we expect, you know, for like a 1080p video. So might be piece of cake for the cell chip to do that.
Mm.
Speaking of 3D, I did read earlier this week that I think Samsung said they expected to sell like, I can't remember the exact number, it was like a shitload of 3D TVs starting like next year. So it could be the, you know, start of like 3D revolution.
There's definitely big manufacturers out there kind of thinking they're relying on this 3D.
I just don't know whether they've done enough research to see whether people actually want 3D in the home. I'm not sure if I do at the moment, but I suppose it's one of these things you have to see it before you...
Yeah, maybe when you see it, you really want it. And if they can show enough of them in the store that kind of capture people's imagination. And I guess if they can keep the 2D TV looking great on them...
Yeah.
Which I assume there's going to be no problem on that front. Then, you know, I guess you can start thinking, well, why not?
Mm. Yeah. The only thing is, you know, like if you have to wear glasses to watch 3D, then for like regular TV, I don't know if I can be bothered to put on specs every time I want to watch a bit of news or just a, you know, TV show.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I think for a film or an event, I think it's fair enough, but...
But then, you know, again, on the flip side, our perceptions might change once we see them. Because do you remember, like, before HD became so popular, we used to say, like, oh, I don't mind watching Blockbuster in 3D, in HD, but, like, news and soaps and stuff, I'd rather just watch them in standard definition. But now I want to watch everything in HD.
Any of you guys seen Avatar yet?
No.
Okay. I'll move on now.
Have you?
No.
Nah.
But I'm just looking up the IMAX there because it's in 3D.
Yeah. I was disappointed with Channel 4 HD there. I mean, I guess, I don't know if my signals are strong enough, but it was just breaking up a lot. And I was just thinking to myself, I'd much prefer at the moment just to be watching this in standard definition. because I'd set it on to record.
Yeah.
I had no choice but to do that. And that was, in fact, True Blood. So I've now gone back down to recording the standard definition.
Oh, dear.
Well, yep.
Digital Comics launched this week on the PlayStation Network, which I must admit I didn't really know anything about until it was announced.
Mm.
You can go to the main PlayStationComics.com and find out more about it. You can download them onto your PSP, which actually is really nice screen. Actually, probably really good for something like Digital Comics.
So do they have a separate reader for these, or are they like standalone comics? You can just read them as they are.
I don't know if it's like one of the firmware updates is actually built in a reader or not.
Oh, okay.
What I plan to do is get the PSP charged up and give it a spin.
Can you not read them on the PlayStation
3? Oh, no, there you go. I'm just on the website just now. Download the free reader. So you can download a reader for the PSP.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a free reader app that you download.
So they're only for the PSP then?
Yeah.
Okay.
But still, thought it was a nice addition.
Mm.
Now, Gran Turismo. Time Trial came out this week. I don't know if you've had a chance to try it, Shaki.
No.
I'm so disappointed with it. And fair enough, we knew it was going to be one track and it was a kind of sponsored thing. But what I found really awkward, the handling was really bad. Just as you turned, just felt really dodgy with the sticks. And there was no kind of real settings to change it and make it any different. And if you look at the time trials, mm-hmm. they're all getting dominated by people with wheels. Looking on forums, they're now saying that they reckon the wheels taking 1 to 2 seconds per lap. Now that to me just sounds like it's artificially helping somebody with a wheel. Which is for me disappointing because I ain't going to go and buy a wheel for a game.
Maybe it's not artificially helping. Maybe it's just easier to play with a wheel.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt an awful lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the thing I was most surprised at is graphically, it just looked really average.
Ah.
And even as you turned on certain hairpins in the track, you got a couple of stutters on screen. Which is really disappointing.
Mm.
Considering we're only 3-4 months away from launch. Oh, I don't know. I just have the fear. What have they been doing for all these years?
Mm.
Final gadgets and games is rumours about the subscription-based PSN.
Yeah, this news has been like popping in and out over the last few weeks. And some people think it might be a good thing. Some people say, they don't want to pay for it. And I just came across this article today, and it's like, we'll add a link in the show notes. And it's the possible PSN premium services details, which were leaked in a survey. And from what I can read, they say it could possibly cost between $20 to $60 a year, which is about $6 to $9 a month. And some of the innovative stuff that's been mentioned for the premium service would be customer service priority access, access to beta games, member demo sharing of full game, cross-game voice chat access, trophy alerts, member-only in-game content, online music service, online music video service, a whole lot of things. So again, these are just rumours. It's not been confirmed, but Sony, I think, did mention about a week ago, one of the big chiefs was interviewed, and he said they were looking at subscription-based models, but they haven't decided anything in detail yet as to when they'll launch that, how much it will be.
Yeah. I think the only thing we can kind of guarantee is there's definitely something coming.
Yeah.
mean, they're still losing 40, or according to the press, they're still losing $40
per machine.
Per machine, and that's even on the Slim.
Yeah. Would you pay for a premium service, seeing that you don't really use it that much?
And I guess that's where I would struggle, because at the moment I'm guaranteed to play it on Xbox because I use it all the time.
Yeah.
And the PS3, it's a real struggle just to get online sometimes with games. Mm. You know, I just can't even be bothered with some of them. And fair enough, if PS3 was my only machine, I would definitely be paying for it.
Mm.
I just think because I've got the two that I'm always going to default to the 360 at the moment.
Yep.
And some of the stuff, some of the stuff on here looked quite nice, and some, you know, there was some nice, I guess, exclusives that you could maybe get as part of being, you know, paying for this premium service.
Mm.
But just because it's a part of a survey, I'm guessing they're just trying to see, you know, what people would value.
Yeah.
You know, if we charge, what would you expect to get?
Mm.
Still, it's all good. And that's us for our Gadgets and Games.
Gadgets and Games.
Well, I just thought I had to say it one more time, because any time I say it, you have to say it with that kind of shady...
Gadgets and Games.
I don't know, just accent. I don't know where you bring it from. Gadgets and Games. We'll move on to our picks. Shaky, I'll let you stroll up first.
Okay. The Guardian released their official iPhone app this week. It's £2.39, which I think might be a little bit pricey for some people, but I paid for it, so there you go. Personally, I think it should be maybe £1.79 or less. Other than that, I think the app is actually quite nice. It's much, much better than the Sky News app that I used to use before. One of the key things about this is that you can download the news articles for offline reading, which is nice. And it's just more, the layout of the app is just really, really nice and clean as well. You can add up to, I think there's about 5 sections from a list of categories like top stories, world news, technology, wherever you prefer. You can add 5 of your favourite topics to the front page, and then you can choose how many news articles you want to appear under each of these categories. And it's got like a typical iPhone app layout. So at the bottom, you've got like a toolbar where you can add shortcuts, and you have you can obviously edit them as well. So if there's a shortcut you don't like, you can easily replace that with something else. For example, I've changed mine to be the homepage of the app, UK news, technology and world news. You can change that to anything else. There's an audio section in there, so you can actually go in there and listen to all the audio clips. There's a really nice gallery section in there, so you can watch some, view the photos that have been uploaded. There's a trending section as well, so you can see what the latest trends are. So yeah, I mean, overall, I think it's really, really nice. A lot of content, I must admit, much more content than the Sky News app.
For the offline kind of viewing, do you have to actively ask it to sync specific articles, or does it sort of do that when you log in anyway? Do you know that?
When you click on the option to say offline reading, you get like a list of categories. So you've got like US, culture, politics, etc. And so you basically just select the categories you want and just click on start download.
And it'll do so, a sort of sync in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe one thing to it, I used it when I was traveling this week, and it was, I must admit, I thought it was superb. Really, really nice app.
Mm-hmm.
Before I left my house, I did the offline sync. So I selected all the topics and they all downloaded. And I also grabbed a couple of the podcasts, because you can download them for listening later on as well. And it was actually super, on the flight, it was great, because it was just, you know, everything was there, including the photo galleries. They get synced as well. And some of the photos are actually really, really good.
I think another nice touch was near the bottom, there's a section to say selected columnist. And you can just click on that and then read articles from your favourite writer, which is really, really nice.
And it's a really nice way of actually just going back through their history and seeing what else they've written.
I don't know if you know, well, you must have noticed it because I think you see it the first time you launch the app. Under each news article on the front page, you've got like, what would you call them, tags, I think. So
yeah,
you click on the icon and you get like a really nice little pop-up that appears that shows you the related subjects to that article. And then you can click on that and then, you know, do some further reading.
I mean, I'll be honest, I don't mind paying $2.39 at all. I think it's a bargain.
Well, I was going to say, I know a lot of people in the App Store are used to paying small amounts of money for their apps, and especially as they can go and consume this for free on the website. But I think app developers are finding how much control they have over the environment, and actually that you get so much value added on this, you know, that you can consume the news as you want it. So £2.39, it's not that many hard copies to, you know, equivalent.
No, and it's the offline reading, superb, easy access. I mean, it's the access to things like just digging into more and more content, I thought was really, really nicely done.
Fantastic.
And it's things like they can control the readability, so you can actually increase or decrease the font size. Mm. You know, and you can't easily do that within, you know, if you just went to the website.
And I mean, the website's built for browsers, and this is built for the environment it's specifically being used in.
And I still, as soon as I use it, but I still think, why does the BBC never have done something like this? It still baffles me.
Well, they probably wouldn't be able to charge.
I don't care about that. I just think if you look at the amount of content they provide over all these different platforms.
But then their web interface is pretty good. It's not perfect, obviously, but then I guess they're thinking value.
App.
Yeah, but value for general users, there's not, you know, not everyone has an
app.
iPhone. give me iPlayer on the 360.
Shut up.
I mean, like I said, I've been using the Sky News app all this time, and that's great. You know, it's a free app, but like Ian said, I think $2.39, some people might think it's a lot of money, but I agree with Ian, and I think it's you do get value for your money with this app.
Really for those people, I say, you know, sod off. If you don't want to pay the $2.39, don't pay it.
I think it's one of my best apps of the year.
And I mean, I don't really read newspapers, but the quality of the writing in each of the articles was top notch. I really, you know, made me feel like buying a newspaper in the morning.
No, it was better than the Daily Fail.
Yeah.
Chris, your pick this week.
Now, yes, I apologise for my pick being a weak ass one. But I'm going to choose Doodle Jump. So it's a game on the iPhone.
Great pick.
And it's brilliant. It's a brilliant, brilliant game. 59p, so dead cheap.
Have you played it?
Oh, yeah, it's wicked. I love it. So you got what I call a bouncy dude. And effectively, the idea of the game is to keep this guy bouncing on platforms ever going up and up and up the screen. And there's platforms for you to land on, and there's also things like, there's tools along the way, like jetpacks to help you get up faster. And it's eternally, I mean, Shaq, you've doodle jumped a lot higher than I have.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
So I don't know whether there's more and more happens, but you get black holes that you can you know, sink into. I mean, and you get aliens which you've got to shoot.
Yeah, there's little bouncy aliens you can, you know, like bounce on top of. Concept is, like you say, it's just simple. You just keep bouncing. But it's just strangely addictive. You just feel like, I'll have one more shot, maybe I can beat my score. And it does get quite devious at times as well. Cause,
I bet it does.
I mean, initially you've just got like a lot of platforms, and yes, you could, you know, miss a platform and fall down. But as you go up, you get platforms that like you can only bounce on them once, and then they disappear. And
the other platforms that break away, aren't there? And some that
you get ones that sort of explode. You got ones that like constantly moving.
You also get ones that you need to drag yourself.
Yeah,
which are quite tricky because you're having to maybe balance on one, you know, bounce on one platform and then drag these other ones in.
Because one thing to remember is the guy just keeps bouncing automatically. You have no control over him other than his left and right movements. So you've got to keep an eye on him, make sure he doesn't fall into a pit or something like that.
So a couple of little thanks or little pointers. There's one that Tam mentioned this months and months and months ago. When we were talking about games and iPhones.
I dismissed it.
You dismissed it at the time. I downloaded it and I really enjoyed it. And I think you've become an addict. Your Facebook is just covered with, yay!
I just find it really simple to pick up and play.
Yeah, and that's the thing, one-handed gaming. it's great. The second thing is that I think it's a real big thumbs up to the developer. Yeah. He's releasing updates to this every couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's a snow mode on this now, isn't there?
Yeah, but it's more the, you know, but when it first came out, I don't think there was like the black holes or the, and then he started adding on like, you know, well, here's platforms that burn away, and then the next update was here's ones you can only bounce on once, and then the next update was different bad guys, and then it was the draggable platforms, then it was a helicopter, then it was the buoyant. So it's actually really grown.
I don't know that.
It's almost every couple of weeks that you're getting another little, you know, a new feature.
It's quite charming looking as well, isn't it? It's all hand-drawn sort of graphics.
Yeah. No, really, really nice. Mm. So, great pick, Chris.
Thanks, and thanks for describing my pick. It's very, very good.
So, have you played it?
No, genuinely, yeah, yeah. I'm only up to like 15...
No, genuinely, yeah, yeah.
15,000, I think I'm up to. So it's nowhere near the heights of 48,000, but...
I'm so annoyed I got to 47, because I thought you were well over 50.
No, 48.
I shall have my revenge. My picks this week, it's another iPhone app, so I must apologise for three iPhone apps. And this is really for 360 users only. There's been a number of different 360 apps over the kind of app store. A couple came out paid. Microsoft have told me to remove them, and they've come out as free. One that came out a couple of weeks ago was 360 Live, and it was by far the best app. It got really good reviews. It was really quick, and it was really full featured compared to a lot of the other apps that are out there. But again, it was charged for, and it was pulled, but it's now back up there and free. So it's called 360 Live. It looks really nice, reminds you of the kind of dashboard, and it just shows you quickly who's online. But unlike the others, you can then go in and you can message them.
Oh,
you can compare games, you can see what they're currently playing and what their last few games are. So it's got all the depth and all the information that you usually get from the website or from the dashboard.
Is this an independent developer who's made this?
Yeah, but it's using the APIs that Microsoft had put out to get the information, and that's why you can't charge for it. You know, so they've got some terms and conditions.
You wonder why Microsoft haven't released one of their own apps.
Yeah.
Onto an Apple product, I guess that's it.
What, like Bing?
Well, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. My bad. I have to say, so does this one pick up your friends list automatically from your login? Because yeah, I've used ones in the past where you have to manually add them and stuff.
Previous ones you've had to go in and say, I need to add Cheesy UK, I need to add Bomb Dogs, and it's just a pain in the ass.
And if you added Cheesy UK, it wouldn't be me.
Oh, that's right.
Ah, okay, you're the doppelganger.
No, that's because his Twitter account. But this one, you just log in. So you're just logging in, and it's just pulling back who's online, and you can see all your offline contacts as well. So a lot better.
Nice.
Very, very nice. And it's free.
I shall have a look at that. Sounds good.
My second little quick pick is Perion, which is a free open source QuickTime component for the Mac. So QuickTime default doesn't support a lot of the popular video formats. But if you download Perion, it basically puts all the codecs on your machine that you'd ever want. And I think 1.2 came out this week, just adding, you know, some updated codecs. And that's about it. You know, if you're using your Mac for lots of video, or you've maybe got a Mac Mini sitting under a TV, then definitely get Perion on your machine. And that's the picks.
Have you got a Mac Mini sat on your TV yet?
No. I have a Drobo that is quietly being populated.
Ready for your Mac sitting under the TV.
And probably next year I will hopefully sort out a Mac Mini.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's not expensive, but I think it will be nice.
No, definitely. Yeah,
let us know what it's like, because I say I'm quite tempted.
I will be doing copious. I might even do some video reviews of what I do and how to set it up and what I've done. Because I've just got there's a whole lot of things I want to do around news groups and then torrents and some other bits and pieces. So, episode 29, done.
Cheers, Gordon.
If you want to find out more about us, we're at digitaloutbox.com, and we'd love to get some emails, info@digitaloutbox.com, speak to us on Twitter, that's Digital Outbox, or Skype us at our original address of Digital Outbox.
There's a theme.
Yeah. Chris, where can we find out more about you?
I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK, and my blog is chrishutchinson.org.uk.
Shaquille.
On Twitter at Shaqan, and my blog is shaquilnaim.com, and the blog has not been updated for ages, but come New Year, I will be back with a vengeance.
Sounds like a resolution.
And my Twitter is Shweepa, and my blog is Indeed on it. I just realised, actually, it's been 2 or 3 months since I've posted my blog, but I do have a number of things to say.
Ah.
So I will be blogging over the next couple of weeks, now that I'm on holiday. Yeah. And that's it. This is our last... I know I threatened last week to do the next show would be a review show, but this is our last regular show. Our next podcast, when it comes out, will be our review of the year. Not quite sure when it'll be out.
Some point over the Christmas period, that's what we're going to
say. Yeah, but hopefully before New Year. Yeah. Or else it'll be eternally pointless. So hopefully you can join us for that. And thanks for listening. Bye.
See you later.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping.
I couldn't resist not finishing with this.
I'm just wondering how long you're going to go on.
The lights are turned way down low.
You can't be this.
Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally
I'm so tempted to join
night,
in.
I just did, but well away from
out
the
in the storm. But if you really hold me tight all the way home,
I've got jazz hands going on in
the
snow as well.
And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you'd love me so, let it snow and
I wonder if we need to pay for this.
I think by now, yeah, you have to pay a performance right on that.
When we finally kiss goodnight.
I'll stop that then. I'm sure you're allowed like 1 minute and 20 seconds worth.
That was the only, you know, we just brief overview that one.
So I'm just realising I'm getting Skype spam.
Skype
what is all
spam?
This nonsense? Yeah, I'm getting people sending me stuff like...
Have you noticed Henry's just come online?
Yeah, I have just noticed. He's a tad late. Do you need to refill your RX? And then it's all this drug nonsense stuff. Never seen anything like that before in my life. Not I hate bad. Skype.
Now they've sold their souls.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I paid for Spotify Premium the other day. I went to someone a little sort of party and it was just a great way of playing music. So I paid my $9.99 for this month. Quite a good little app, like you said.
The app's lovely. The app is lovely. It's just where you get value out of that. And I still do think that I'll pay for it every so often.
Yep.
But seeing as I don't go into parties, then I'll never be buying it for that.
You could host your own party. Like a Windows 7 party or something like that.
Hey!
You could host your Drobo party once you've got it all set up properly.
But it's not really much to celebrate. It's a black box that hums.
Come on, it's a shiny black box and it's got nice lights on it.
It is actually very shiny and it comes in, believe it or not, a black sack. They've tried to like do the Apple kind of packaging, but not really.
It's That's like, why Callie Lewis loves it so much, isn't it?
What, the Drobo stuff?
No, yeah. The black stuff.
Black sacking.
Ah, dear me. And here was me thinking the clean tag would be fantastic for this week.
Right, I'm going to click stop now.
I like the way you do that before you click stop.
Well, tell you that I'm going to click stop.
It would be nice if you actually just went, I've now pressed stop, so that I don't have to edit it out at the end.